Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It happens every December, a little before New Year's, and today's the day. It's the Brian Lehrer Show end of year news quiz to answer the question, have you been paying attention in 2010? Get two in a row right, and we will give you a WNYC Sling by Chico Bags, the cool little shoulder bag we have that's made of recycled material and crinkles up into a tiny ball when you're not using it. We'll give away a WNYC Sling to any of you who get two answers right in a row. So if you want to be a news quiz contestant, just call up right now at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. No cost to play, and we'll see if you've been paying attention in 2010. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Our first quizmaster is Anna Marie Cox, who first came to prominence as the author of the clever and informative Washington blog Wonkette. She's currently the GQ Washington correspondent. Hey, Anna Marie, Happy New Year. Welcome back to WNYC.
Happy New Year to you. It's good to be here. Thank you.
And this was certainly a year to remember in Washington.
Well, unlike all those other years, I've already forgotten.
Yeah, well, but... or it was a year to forget. I don't know. I guess it depends on your politics.
Well, no, it got interesting towards the end, especially. So I'm excited. I hope, but you know, I think people might, in the light of this very exciting past few months, maybe they've forgotten some of the slog that we went through, the entertaining slog.
Are you writing a year ender with a certain theme?
You know, I'm actually writing a look forwarder to
how progressive.
How the power differential has changed in Washington. And I'm really glad I didn't start writing it earlier, like maybe a more responsible writer would do, because things did change so dramatically, even following the midterms, which is what, you know, people thought would change the equation. But the lame duck Congress was pretty unprecedented, and I think people are starting to reconsider how much the balance of power shifted, or at least where it shifted to.
Yeah, so who's angrier as we end the year, the true left or the true right?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. It is certainly hip to be angry these days. That's like the cool emotion. I think it has to be the right, just in terms of volume. And by that, I mean
loudness.
Loudness, right. Not numbers. And also in terms of visibility. It is very rare that you see a magazine or a TV show or a news show lead with clips of angry leftists protesting somewhere or talking about that upset. But we've had a year where you've seen Sarah Palin on the cover of several magazines, the Tea Party like overtaking the news and overtaking the culture almost during the summer. And, of course, a lot of people's reactions to the Republican takeover of Congress had to do with what they thought was the Tea Party patriots or the Tea Party Republicans coming out of the woodwork and voting their anger.
Good news quiz question maybe for next year is who did Anna Marie Cox say was the angrier at the end of 2010 and who turned out to be in 2011? All right, let's do the news quiz. You ready? Elizabeth
ready.
In Bergen County. Happy New Year, Elizabeth. Have you been paying attention in 2010?
I have indeed, and I listen to your show all the time. I have great respect for it.
I'm so glad. Thank you.
All right. She should do very well.
Let's find out if you've been paying attention in 2010.
Okay.
And remember, two in a row right, and you win a WNYC Sling by Chico Bags. Anna Marie, hit her.
In his year-end news conference, President Obama said about the lame duck Congress's busy December.
A lot of folks in this town predicted that after the midterm elections, Washington would be headed for more partisanship and more gridlock. And instead, this has been a season of progress for the American people.
So the question is?
Name two bills passed by this lame duck session.
All right, Elizabeth, there you go. Any two of the bills passed by the lame duck session of Congress?
The recent session would be the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And the other would be the tax reform.
Are we going to give that one to her, Brian?
We're going to give tax compromise to her, definitely. Enacted Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Elizabeth?
Right, meaning they... Am I correct?
That they enacted Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Well, that it went through Congress.
What went
through? Can I ask a leading question here? Is Don't Ask, Don't Tell going to be the policy moving forward? Is that what they decided?
No, they rescinded it.
Okay, very good. They rescinded it. They repealed. We're
right.
Just being tough on you, Elizabeth.
That's okay.
Sure.
I'm a paralegal. I can handle it.
One question, right. Okay, hit her again, Anna Marie.
Who said this?
I just think my children and your children will be much better off and much more successful getting married and raising a family. And I don't want them to be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid or successful option.
All right. Who said that? Recognize the quote or recognize the voice?
Speaker of the House, the new Republican Speaker of the House.
Oh, that is wrong.
No,
Elizabeth.
I'm so sorry. I'm
thanks.
Nervous.
Obviously, you were paying attention to a lot in 2010, but you got that one wrong. So we're going to go on to Derek in Kensington. Hey, Derek. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Do you want that clip again?
Please.
All right. Who said... Oh, we can't do it again? Okay, so we're just going to have to give the answer, I guess.
A little tougher. Should I just give the answer then?
Go ahead.
Okay, it was Carl Paladino, the Republican candidate for governor of the state of New York, who I, for one, will really sincerely miss. He said that at a meeting of Hasidic Jew leaders in Williamsburg in October.
It was the Carl Paladino footnote to history. The year of the footnote to history, Carl Paladino and a few others. He did point out that he did not go to the gay pride parade while his opponent, Andrew Cuomo, went with his two daughters. And that was a campaign point for Carl Paladino. All right. So Derek did not get asked that question. So he's starting with a clean slate, two in a row right, and you win a WNYC sling, shoulder bag. And Anna Marie hit him.
When asked about his stance on gay marriage during the New York gubernatorial debate, this third-party candidate said, "If you want to marry a shoe, I'll marry you." Who was that candidate, and what was his party?
Oh, man, I will have to guess. I can't even guess, actually. I have no idea.
Okay. All right, Derek. Thanks a lot. Happy New Year. Bob in Marine Park, did you hear the quote? "If you want to marry a shoe... I'll marry you." Which gubernatorial candidate in New York said that? And what was his party?
A gubernatorial candidate in New York?
Yes.
Oh, I was hoping for a Washington question. I'm not good on local politics.
Sorry, Bob. Yeah. Got to pay more attention to your state.
Yeah. A New York gubernatorial candidate, if you want to marry a shoe, I'll marry a shoe.
Yeah, I'll marry you. As governor, you know, you can preside over weddings. So he said, "If you want to marry a shoe, I'll marry you."
Third-party gubernatorial candidate. Probably the Green Party, but I don't remember who it was.
Okay, sorry, Bob. We got to give away the answer, Anna Marie. Once two people in a row miss it, we'll give the answer so that we can keep moving.
The answer is Jimmy McMillan of the Rent is Too Damn High.
Party. Good old Jimmy McMillan. All anybody remembers is the rent is too damn high. But he also said, if you want to marry, he also said,
rent's too damn high, party for you. If you want to marry a shoe, I'll marry you.
All right. Brian in Long Island, have you been paying attention in 2010?
I'm hoping so, guys. Hit me.
Hit him.
All right. Because of a rule stating that one must live in a country for 5 years prior to running for president, what prominent musician was ruled ineligible to run for president of Haiti?
That would be former member of the Fugees, Wyclef Jean.
It sure would.
Very, very good.
And you are just one answer away from winning our first WNYC shoulder bag, the sling, and maybe it'll be this question, Anna Marie.
On January 19th, this man won a special election that many saw as a first indicator of the coming Tea Party wave of anger and resentment towards the Obama administration.
And it all started with me, my truck, and a very few amount of dedicated volunteers. However, it ended with an Air Force One making an emergency run to Logan. And I didn't mind when the president came here and criticized me and talked about, you know, some of the things that he disagreed with me on. But let me tell you, when he started to criticize my truck, that's where I draw the line.
All right, Brian, who was that and what did he win?
I believe that would be Scott Brown, and he won the Senate seat formerly held by Ted Kennedy.
Yes, and Brian, you went to WNYC. Slate, you're going to love this bag, by the way. It is so cool. I carry mine around all the time. And
I can't wait to just crumple it up into a little ball. It's my favorite thing.
You got that. You got that. You got that crumple it up into a little ball line down. And it is. It's just a little ball. And then when you need this expandable thing as an extra bag, there it is. All right. So we're going to put you on hold, and we'll get your address so we can mail you the sling. Congratulations.
You
have been paying attention.
Thank
you. In 2010, you have bragging rights for your New Year's Eve party as a WNYC News Scholar.
Absolutely.
All right. Brian, thanks a lot. And Anna, oh, I just disconnected. You got him? Good. You got Brian. They saved Brian. I almost disconnected him. Let's go to Anna in the Bronx, or is it Anna?
Anna. Hi, Brian.
Anna, hi. Anna. Anna, Anna.
It's good to meet you, Anna. Hi.
All right, Anna Marie, go ahead.
All right. In February, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said this.
We understand their logistical concerns and their security concerns that are involved. We have been discussing that with them. As you know, they are originally supportive of this. We want to see this man tried and brought to justice in the place in which the crime was committed.
All right. What was he referring to, Anna?
What month was that?
It was in February. I'd say the biggest clue for you is at the end of the quote when he said, we want to see this man tried and brought to justice in the place the crime was committed.
Was that College Sheikh Mohammed?
Yes.
Very good. That was one of those that straddles the border of local and national questions.
That's right. And obviously to be tried in Lower Manhattan. All right. You are one away from a sling. In July. Oh, Anna, your job.
My turn. I'm the Vanna here.
Yeah. You're the actual questioner. You're the quiz master. I'm the Vanna.
Someone who's turning the blocks around. Okay. In July, Vice President Joe Biden made his first appearance on The Late Show and had this exchange with Jay Leno.
We traded 10 for 4. Now, I know our math skills are not as good as they should be, but that doesn't seem fair. Why do we trade 10 for 4?
Well, we got back 4 really good ones.
Yeah.
The 10, they've been here a long time, but they hadn't done much.
All right, Anna, with Anna and Vanna, or is it Vanna? What were they talking about?
Well, that's tricky.
We traded 10, they gave us 4. Is that fair? Leno asked. Biden said, well, we got back 4 really good ones. And the 10, they had been here a long time, but they hadn't done much.
Prisoners?
Not quite right. So, Anna, thanks for trying. Happy New Year. We are coming up against a break, so we will give one other person a chance when we continue to answer that question. You can Google the quote. There's nothing. I can't stop you from Googling the quote. So if you Google the quote and you happen to be next in line when we continue with the end of the year news quiz, then you'll get one answer right. Anna Marie Cox, Washington correspondent for GQ. We'll continue with you in a couple of minutes, okay? Stay with us, and everyone else, we'll keep seeing if you were paying attention in 2010 on The Brian Lehrer Show, end of year news quiz. WNYC, and yes, it happens every December, a little before New Year's, and today's the day for 2010. It's the Brian Lehrer Show end of the year news quiz to answer the question, have you been paying attention in the year 2010? Now, coming up later in the show, we'll have our first ever true-false lightning round. Anna Marie will be gone already by then. Anna Marie, I have some questions here that even you might get wrong. On the true false.
There's lots of things I could get wrong.
Have you learned anything yet on our news quiz so far?
You know, I'm not sure. In the very pressure, you know, filled environment of being on the other side of the line, I might not have gotten all of these. I mean, none of these have been a surprise to me per se. But I grant that it can be when you're under the gun. Sometimes your wits can fail you.
And the pressure is enormous. So
yes.
Listeners,
it's a tote bag on the line, Brian.
There is.
I mean, it's a tote bag.
It's a WNYC slang bag on the line here. If you get two in a row. Right, if you've been paying that much attention. All our lines are full, but listeners, remember the on-air line is not the same as the pledge line. We'll never ask you for money on the air. And just want to be very clear about that. But as people finish up, you can call in to be a contestant in the news quiz at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And our next player, waiting patiently through the pledge break, is Richard in Greenpoint. Hi, Richard. Thanks for hanging around.
Hi. I remember that I know the answer, but I forgot the question.
Oh, okay. So we'll ask the question again, especially to remind everybody who may have just tuned in. When we went to the break, somebody had failed to answer a question, and we give two people a shot at it before we retire a news quiz question. And this is an audio question, so we'll play the clip again. In July, Vice President Biden made his first appearance on The Late Show and had this exchange with Jay Leno.
We traded 10 for 4. Now, I know our math skills are not as good as they should be, but that doesn't seem fair. Why do we trade 10 for 4?
Well, we got back 4 really good ones.
Yeah.
The 10, they've been here a long time, but they hadn't done much.
All right, Richard. What was this trade they were talking about?
Oh, when you said July, that sort of knocked it. Then it's not what I was thinking of. I was thinking of senators.
Well, the Major League trading deadline is July 31st anyway, but that's not what we were talking about.
Yeah, no. I thought he was talking about Democratic senators.
No. Sorry.
Oh, well.
Although a good response, I think. Very, very, very witty response.
Oh, yes, that's right. If it was a little after November, yes, that's you would wish you had thought of that one for the column, Anna Marie, right?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to give it
to
one more person. Matt in Manhattan, did you hear the clip? Do you know the trade?
Yeah, I did. I think I do know the trade. Was it spies?
Yes, with who?
With Russia.
If you're talking spies, who else? Then
exactly.
Russia, right? There you go. And that was the 10 Russian agents, including Anna, or is it Anna, Chapman?
Right.
The redhead with, the salacious Facebook photos,
living
in U.S. communities. And officials believe that some of the couples involved even had children together to keep their cover. Remember all of that? So, all right, so you got that right.
All right.
Anna Marie, hit him with the next question. Right, and do you know what the next question is?
I do know what the next question is.
Okay, sorry, we had a little confusion about the order here, but go ahead.
Okay, who famously had to run an ad in which she proclaimed, "I'm not a witch, I'm you"?
Oh, Christine O'Donnell.
And Matt wins a WNYC slang.
Oh, dingers, way to go, awesome.
And don't forget, bragging rights, Matt, at your New Year's Eve party as a WNYC News Scholar.
All right, yeah. I'll be sure to put all of the bragging rights in my bag, I guess.
Hey, there you go. And enough bragging rights to fill up just a little tiny portion of this expansive bag. Hang on, we're going to get your address off the air. Congratulations.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Did you know, by the way, Anna Marie, that Bill Maher released a video of O'Donnell's appearance on his show, Politically Incorrect, in 1999. And she said, "I dabbled into witchcraft. I never joined a coven. I hung around people who were doing these things. I'm not making this stuff up." Who's the investigative reporter who killed the Christine O'Donnell Senate bill? Bill Maher.
Yes, and he effectively, I think he just helped kill it. She did lose by 17 points. And while I think Mr. Maher is a fantastic comedian and a real credit to the nation, I'm not sure even he could be responsible for a 17-point victory.
Ken in Manhattan, you ready to play the news quiz?
Oh, Ken?
Ken, you.
Yeah.
By the way, listeners, we're just taking people in flat-out order that your calls are coming in. And as people finish up, you can call and get on the empty line at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. With, by the way, I think I neglected to mention when we started the second half, our special guest quizmaster, Anna Marie Cox, who first came to prominence as the author of the clever and informative Washington blog, Wong Cat. She's currently the GQ Washington correspondent. And Anna Marie, hit Ken with a news quiz question.
When this proposed project was scuttled, Jimmy Fallon tweeted, "Now New Yorkers will have to get to New Jersey the way they always have, by accident." What was the project and who killed it?
The new tunnel, and governor of New Jersey killed it, and what, oh my God, what is his name? I can visualize the man. There's a lot of him.
If you don't...
Can you describe him? I think, Brian, if he can describe this man...
No, that's easy. That's easy. The name is hard.
Oh, no, you got to know the name of the governor of New Jersey if you're listening in our metro area.
That's the question. Christie!
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to give you a clue, which is his first name is very related to his last name. I think the parents were maybe creatively challenged.
Or they just liked the rhythm of it. I mean, they could just really like the name Chris, too.
John Johnson. Ken Kenson. I mean, you know, who are these parents? And what are they thinking? Okay, Ken, that's one right. You're one correct answer away from a WNYC sling. Anna Marie, go.
On March 23rd, Joe Biden was introducing the president at a major event when he was caught cursing off mic. Take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
And that omitted the curse, which we can't say on the air, but he went on to say, this is a big bleeping deal. So... what was that big bleeping deal?
Well, I guess it's called Obamacare now.
Derisive nicknames are acceptable as the answer to the question.
Healthcare reform. Yeah.
Anna Marie, do you use it that way? Do you think that, you know, as a Washington journalist, whenever you say Obamacare, is that a derisive reference or is that a descriptive reference?
Well, you know, it's funny because it's been so quickly adopted by the right over the left. I think it's used derisively. But, you know, it should be. I think the left should try to take it back. I mean, they like Obama just as much as the right hates him. Again, this is how fast things change in Washington, though. Right now, post lame duck session, I think a lot of liberals are very happy with Obama, but that could change. We are a fickle bunch, we liberals. So it is interesting that the right was able to roll that out as a bad thing, to call it that.
Declaring her political orientation.
Yes, I know. It's terrible of me. I was also going to say what I think is funny is that one of the reasons I think liberals and Democrats don't like that term is because it's not just Obamacare. In fact, it does not resemble very closely what he rolled out in his campaign. I mean, this was a product of so many compromises on the left and the right, mostly with the right, actually. To call it Obamacare is probably just unfair to the product.
And we have a couple of Obamacare questions in our true-false lightning round coming up that may trip some people up that both have to do with compromise. By the way, listeners, you may remember that we did the Joe Biden haiku project back after he said that famous, bleep-inducing quote. We have a link on our site if you want to see the whole Brian Lehrer Show listeners Joe Biden haiku project at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But all right, Ken is one answer away from a WNYC sling.
Oh, I think I got two.
Oh, did you get two? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let's hit that bell again. So, Ken, way to go. We're going to put you on hold. See, it's this higher mathematics that I have trouble with.
At you in the Russian spy swap. I mean,
how many would I be worth in the Russian spy swap? Ken, hang on. We're going to get your dress. Congratulations. And we're going to go on to Kevin in Brooklyn. Hey, Kevin. Happy New Year. Kevin, you there?
Yeah, Happy New Year's.
You got a news quiz question for Kevin, Anna Marie?
I do. Ready? In April, Stephen Colbert hailed the arrival of a revolutionary new product. This way.
You got the email, you got the web browsing, music, video, you can shield your eyes from the sun. And just look how quickly it makes delicious salsa.
So what product's thin edge did Stephen Colbert use, Kevin, to chop up tomatoes and onions for his delicious salsa?
This is a tough one.
It's only tough if you don't know it.
Yeah. Can I possibly hit a clip again?
Sure. So what product's thin edge did he use to chop up tomatoes and onions, hailing the arrival of a revolutionary new...
I have it.
Go ahead.
iPad.
Absolutely. He didn't answer the question, does it blend? But other than that, he showed what it could do in the kitchen.
Or does it fold for easy storage?
That's right. Here's a bonus question. No penalty if you get it wrong,
okay. But
you'll get your second answer in a row right and win the sling if you get it right. In October, Apple announced the eye-popping number of iPads that they had already sold since that April release. Within 500,000, how many had they sold?
800,000.
Whoa.
No, you doesn't think much of Mr. Jobs.
I tell you, you must have sold your Apple stock this year. He sold 7.5 million iPads.
Wow.
In a half a year. But I said no penalty. That was a bonus question. Anne-Marie, give him a second question.
Sure. On October 24th, the Wall Street Journal ran a column praising this event as a smashing success for capitalism. It's shocking that the Wall Street Journal would call anything that. Because each of the elements in the event came from a manufacturer in a different part of the world, it proved the value of a completely free market. For instance, drill bits from Pennsylvania, a super small camera from Japan, heavy-duty cables from Germany, even bacteria-reducing socks from Richmond, Virginia. What event brought these items and the world together?
That's the longest question of our news quiz today, by the way. Did it make any sense?
I barely got through it.
Did it make any sense, Kevin?
Yeah. Can you just repeat it one time for me?
Oh, great.
It gives me time to think. It's just a stall tactic, I know.
go ahead, Anne-Marie. You want to maybe just repeat the items.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
Each of the elements in the event.
Smashing success for capitalism, says the Wall Street Journal, and here are the things that came together in order to make it happen, each from a different part of the world.
And none apparently made by the government, but go ahead.
Right. Drill bits from Pennsylvania, a super small camera from Japan, heavy-duty cables from Germany, bacteria-reducing socks from Richmond, Virginia. Those are the things that came together to make this thing happen that was a smashing success for capitalism.
Or so it was described by the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. I was trying to put those in quotes,
yes.
Ironic quotes.
Capitalism, I'll give you one more clue, which is that capitalism or socialism, that whole, you know, spectrum, may not be the first thing that comes to mind when you think of this event. Would not be for most people.
But you know the event. I don't think it's risking anything to tell him he does know this event.
Even if you were paying attention, paying only scant attention in 2010, you would know about this because it was, let's call it, no minor event. Kevin.
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, let's see if David and... Thanks, Kevin. Happy
New
Year. Let's see if David and Prospect Heights was paying attention. We're not going to read it again. That's the only rule.
I know. I know it, Brian.
Yes?
I was screaming it out. The Icelandic volcano.
Oh, my God. You are wrong. You're wrong. Sorry, David. Well, at least he went out of the... Should we give this one to one more? Let's give this one to one more person because this was such
It's such a good question. I think it's a fantastic question. So I think it'd be a shame to toss it at this point. Let's try one more person.
John in Astoria, have you been listening?
I have been listening. Could it be the Shanghai Expo in Shanghai?
Wow, that would be a good one for capitalism. Kind of on its face, but no. I'm sorry, John, thanks a lot. Well, Anne-Marie, it was, in a way, a minor event, wasn't it?
I almost laughed when you said that, because, yes, it was the rescue of the Chilean miners. Not something, as you said, you would not look at that event and, first of all, go to capitalism versus socialism as your way of judging it. It would more be a triumph of humanity more than capitalism, or at least that's how someone who was not at the Wall Street Journal might view it.
That's right. Other than the Wall Street Journal editorial board, it might have been seen more in humanitarian terms. So that was the longest and probably the hardest question of the set. Of course, those miners had been trapped underground since August 5th. They spent a total of 69 days trapped. The total cost of the rescue was estimated to be $20 million. And the last I looked, that was probably paid for by government, wasn't it?
I think governments actually had a lot to do with that rescue. I'm not sure that the Wall Street Journal was really, I think they had their finger on the scale, as it were, when I'm talking about it, capitalism versus socialism.
All right. Joe in Brooklyn, we're done with the miners. Aren't you glad?
Yes. Good morning, Brian and Adam Marie.
And we're going to go to a census question next, which I will ask. As you know, 2010 was a census year. One of the big implications of the census is reapportionment. When congressional seats are reassigned around the country according to population shifts, this year two states lost two seats each, and two states gained two seats. In fact, one of them gained four. So the question is, out of those four states that were either big winners or big losers, name one of the big winners and one of the big losers. Can you do that?
I believe it was New York that lost.
Yes.
And I believe, was it Connecticut that gained?
Oh, no. Sorry, Joe. We're going to let Daniel in Jamaica take a shot at this one. And you got half of it as a clue. So you just got to tell us, of the two states that were the biggest winners in the census for getting more House seats, name one of those two states.
Texas.
And Anna Marie, you want to hit him with the last question?
Yes. In mid-February, this respected Indiana senator, sick of Washington bickering, said goodbye to politics when he announced he wasn't running for re-election.
There is much too much partisanship and not enough progress. Too much narrow ideology and not enough practical problem solving.
Who said goodbye to politics in that way?
Good one, Evan Bayh.
Bye-bye. That's right. And you win a WNYC sling. Daniel, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays.
Don't forget those bragging rights at your New Year's Eve party. And we are going to switch quiz masters. We have New Yorker staff writer Susan Orlean, who is most famous, Anna Marie, as you may know now, for having 80,000 Twitter followers. Did you know that about Susan Orlean?
I actually did know that. I follow her on Twitter, and I believe she follows me. So we're like Twitter friends, even though we've never even spoken.
And how many Twitter followers do you have?
Well, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, Brian, but I have 1.4 million Twitter followers.
I was just giving you that opportunity for the bragging rights of your own. I knew that. That is amazing. So, listeners, you will be.
I didn't write the Orchid Thief, which, of course, is what she is actually well known for.
That's right. So. Well, we are happy to count ourselves among Anna Marie Cox's Twitter followers. She is also the GQ Washington correspondent, and you've been a really great quiz master. Thanks a lot for doing this with us. Happy New Year.
All right, see you next year.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More of our end-of-year news quiz to come, including our true-false lightning round. Stay with us.